We're going to find out how Wendy hypnotizes people over the internet, what kind of radio experiments we can do, and we're going to also talk about how you can become successful, what hypnotism can do for you, and also some past life regression as well, because that, of course, has happened to a lot of us. I think I've had many past lives, as a matter of fact. Back with her in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Wendy Friesen, our guest. Wendy, what kind of people, what types of people should undergo hypnosis? Is there any given rule for that?
No, not really. Well, there are some people who have psychotic problems that definitely shouldn't do it, especially anybody who has who's bipolar or has like dissociative identity disorder, because it can like give them all kinds of extra personalities, which is not good. But people who are in a sound mental state, you know, even if you're really depressed and you're having some real challenges, hypnosis can help you get back to feeling like you have some control and you have the ability to make changes, because, you know, people feel so helpless about everything, and then they go deeper and deeper into depression. So it makes you feel like you have the ability to do something about it.
Let's talk about how your techniques work. Somebody, you do a lot of this over the internet, which we'll talk about, but you also do face-to-face, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see clients much anymore because my business has grown, and running a corporation definitely takes me away from my clients. I work with some athletes, you know, and occasionally there's some clients that will fly me somewhere to do sessions, but for the most part,
you can't tell me who they are, obviously, because they're clients, but what kind of athletes? I mean, what kind of sports are they?
Golfers, mostly.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If you want to take a few strokes off your golf game, come and see me.
Is it dramatic?
It's amazing, yeah. And putting, I mean, the difference in putting is just, we do this thing where it's the intuitive putt, it's called, and I hook you up where your brain and your inner mind is going to assess all the conditions, the things you can't consciously assess, the wind, the lay of the green, you know, even a ball mark that's on the green, and pick up the most imperceptible things about that putt. Take all that information and put it into your body of what the exact right putt is. And these golfers are just like, this is crazy. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not having to do all these calculations. I hit the ball, I feel it, and there's this thing we call a mind line. And when they create the mind line, the ball goes in. I won a putting contest doing that, and I hadn't golfed in years.
You know what? I used to golf years ago when I was younger, and I gave it up because I just didn't have that kind of time. But always when I was on the putting green, I would use this imaginary line mm-hmm. and try to lock it into my head. Mm-hmm. It got to the point, Wendy, that I could putt with my eyes closed once I locked it in.
Wow. Very cool, and because your body knew exactly what to do. Wow.
I've even known some baseball pitchers who, once they lock in where the catcher's mitt is, for example, mm-hmm. they can hit it with their eyes closed.
Wow.
And that's
so cool.
Amazing.
It's just so cool what our mind is capable of, and, you know, how we never try. Most people don't try to take it to another level and discover what they can do. So, yeah, I had one interesting client quite a long time ago. I got an email that he said he wants to learn how to hypnotize for sex, and he said money is no object. That's the only two lines in the email. Turns out he's from the royal family in Qatar, flew me to Europe to teach him hypnosis for a week.
This is not a joke, is it?
No, it's not a joke. But, yeah, you know, how many people are going to answer that email?
No, wait a minute. He wanted to be hypnotized, or he wanted to hypnotize?
Wants to learn hypnosis for
his dates.
Sex, to get sex, yeah. And here he's, you know, this multi-billionaire, whatever.
And he had to hypnotize people?
Because he couldn't get, well, what he really wanted was love. I saw through it all. It was all about the warm fuzzies and being accepted and loved.
I mean, did you tell him you can't hypnotize someone for love?
Well, what I did is I worked with him to get his issues worked out, because he didn't feel lovable. And even though he's been married to supermodels and stuff, he never felt loved. And that's what he was craving. So we got his issues dealt with, did some inner child work, and got him to project that he's magnetic and charismatic, which is a really cool thing to do with hypnosis, is to make your qualities really shine. So people are just like glommed onto you because they just want to be around you because you're so cool. And we did a lot of that. And that's actually what he needed, because then he had the confidence to know that someone wanted him and loved him and wanted to have sex with him because of him, not because of his position or money.
Well, that's pretty difficult, though, you know, for anybody, you know, man or woman, depending on what they do and who they may be, because you always, you know, have to wonder, you know, are they with me because of who I am or what I am?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in his case, maybe he should have just pretended to be some guy, you know?
Yeah. It was really interesting because we had talked before I went out there and put this whole plan together. And then when I got there, I was sitting in the lobby of the hotel. And I was waiting for him to come down, and he comes walking down, and he is extremely short. He's about 4'10".
And he probably owned the hotel, right?
No, in Olive Banks. So he also had like one leg shorter than the other, so he walked a little oddly. And I thought, oh, I'm here to make this man attractive to women and charismatic and magnetic. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, first thing you had to do was hypnotize yourself, right?
Yeah, I was going, what am I going to do now? But it was one of the most special, like we did 4 days of hypnosis. It was the most special time for me because I connected with him and he had experiences that he didn't know he could have and he started to love himself.
Did you like him as a person?
I did after a few days, yeah.
You didn't in the beginning?
No, not at all. No, but he, you know, I just saw, when I work with people really closely, I start to love them because I'm working with their weaknesses and their fears and their insecurities.
Right.
And rather than judging, I'm trying to bring them from that to really feeling whole and to loving themselves. And it's really easy to get connected to people when you're that real with them.
Does that change them after a while?
Yeah, it sure does.
And I assume that stays with him, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Once you change in that way, you never go back to your fears and your insecurities.
Have you ever come across anybody, Wendy, that you just couldn't change? I mean, he was just so obnoxious and, I mean, you just didn't want anything to do with him?
Yeah, there was. There was one guy that we would do this future timeline thing where he'd go into the future and I was helping him with some things. And then he would tell me, you know, when I go into my timeline, you're always there and I'll tell you what we're doing together. And he would describe it to me and it was like, oh, God, come on. That's not what you're here for. And so he was just fantasizing and doing all these things. And then there was also a child molester that came to see me because he wanted to stop his urges for children.
He was not arrested at the time?
No, he wasn't.
Now, that's got to be difficult.
He says, you know, something bad's going to happen, and I'm going to get in trouble, and I'm going to, you know, go to prison or something, and I don't want to do this. And that was a struggle for me because, you know, what do I do? Do I say, no, this is way too creepy, or, you know, you're reaching out for help, and you are a creepy guy, that's for sure. And
I would have turned him in. I mean, that's a tough call for you, but I would have gotten him somehow.
Well, there isn't anything he was doing that, at that point, that would be provable. So what I wanted to do is find out more and find out if there was something that he was putting people in danger.
I mean, did you think he might have been lying to you?
No, I felt he was pretty honest because anyone who would come in and admit that in the first place, you know.
See, that's why I could never be a defense attorney. Yeah. I could not defend these lowlifes.
Guilty.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't. If I knew this guy was guilty of murder, and I had to defend him, or he was a child molester or something.
Sickening. Yeah.
I can't do it.
Why would you want them to get away with something that they,
Oh, well. But onto this thing. So what did you do for him?
The guy in Qatar?
Yeah. No.
Oh, the child molester guy?
Yeah.
Well, I worked with him for a little while. It did get too creepy. But what I worked with him on was some of his beliefs about sex, and we found out where he got this desire, and I would regress him. It's called regression to cause. And this is not the same as past life regression. And so in hypnosis, I say, okay, you've got this feeling that you want this. And that part itself is really difficult. And I say, now your mind is going to go back to the moment in time where you learned that this is what you wanted. And so we would go back to this moment. When he was a young child, there were some things happening, some molest that was happening with him as well.
Yeah, he was abused.
Mm-hmm. And it anchored it in and created that need. And so by doing that, we could dissolve and release the hook that was holding it in and put him more in control. You know, and I worked with him for probably 8 or 10 sessions, and it just was really tough. I couldn't keep doing it, so.
Do you know if you were successful?
Yes, I do know, and his wife talked to me as well because she knew the problem as well, and they felt that things were really turning around and that he was feeling very different about it. He also would go pay homeless women to do certain sexual acts as well. And he had stopped doing it. He was really proud of himself. He says, you know, when I have sex with my wife, it's totally different now. I'm not approaching homeless people, you know, and I'll tell you, you know, I'm not going to put myself alone with kids, but I'm not feeling like drawn to them. I feel more normal.
See, I've got a real problem with our parole system in what they're doing with these convicted child molesters that they then put out on parole. Lately, a couple of them have been accused of, guilty of, killing kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always believed that they can't be cured, that they're deeply sick. There's a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what would happen, Wendy, if the courts compelled all of them to go through massive hypnosis
mm-hmm.
before they're going to be released, because they're going to be released anyway.
Right.
Even though I'm opposed to that.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, you can't keep
That's
someone
a good
idea, in jail.
George.
Yeah, I mean, I think the courts should do that.
Now, the first thing that these people have to have is a desire to make it happen. So they have to want to cure that problem. If you don't have a desire for, you know, for anything, the hypnosis won't
Could
work.
You tell if they were lying to you about that?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, definitely. Because, you know, I'm the spot a liar expert as well.
Yeah, I mean, so you could, let's say, go to a judge mm-hmm. and say, Judge, I just went through this process with this person. But he's lying. He
right.
doesn't want to
he
stop.
Want to,
he's
right.
not going to stop. And the judge is fine. No parole. He's back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there might be some other guys who truly want to help themselves.
Right. And I can tell. I mean, I've studied the things that body language does and eye movements and micro movements and everything that tell me if someone's telling the truth or not. I don't have to hypnotize them to get the truth out of them. I just have to observe.
Okay. Give me some pointers then on that. If you're meeting people and you want to know if they're telling you the truth or not, how, can you give us some tips here?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, to start very simply, the first thing you want to do is you ask them some questions like that you know they'll answer honestly. So if I was meeting you, I'd say, oh, George, how long have you lived in this town? And you say, well, about 4 years. I say, oh, and so what do you like the most about living here? And you'd tell me something. And I would be watching your eyes, the position of your head, what your hands are doing. Now, if
all at the same time, you're watching all this?
Right, just to get a general feeling
okay.
of what you do when you tell the truth. And this is where you can't, like, across the board say, he touched his nose, he must be lying.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to ask you a question and say, well, George, you know, just Saturday night, I don't think you were where you said you were. Where were you Saturday night? Now I'm going to watch what happens the minute that I end that question, and I'm going to look for what's called leakage. Because if there's a conflict in you and your brain is scanning, how should I answer this?
How did she know? That's what
I can't tell her I was at the strip club. So what we want to do is look for the conflict, and it happens very quickly. It may make your eyes dart down to the left or the right, and particularly down. It may make you blink very rapidly. Or if you're really good and you've learned how to look me in the eye and lie straight to my face, something else is going to leak. I'm going to see it in your hands or your fingers or your feet.
So they're not that fail-safe, are they?
No.
They're going to make a mistake.
Exactly. Your body's going to lean back a little bit, possibly. Your head, like Clinton, when he was doing his grand jury testimony, he was so obvious. But one of the times, he tried so hard not to let it show, and his head kept tilting to the side. But other times, he would just put his hand right over his mouth. And
so you knew, watching those clips,
absolutely,
that he was lying.
Absolutely. And like the Michael Jackson thing, oh, my God, when Bashir did that interview, I was like screaming at the TV going, you guys, it's so obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
When they asked him the question, did you do anything sexual with those boys? I mean, his body language just went into frenzy mode.
So why didn't they allow someone like you to testify? I guess that's not admissible in court, is it?
Hypnosis is difficult to use in court because there's really strict requirements, but a body language expert, they could use that. But it doesn't mean that he did it. You can't.
How would you rate your accuracy compared to a lie detector test, a polygraph?
That'd be fun. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Test you again, you know, same person. He'd go in and take a polygraph, and then they'd come back and give you the same questions, and you would do it.
Yeah, and I would say that I would have at least as accurate as a polygraph, maybe even more, because I think people can fool the polygraph more easily than they could fool me. Because you can lower your heart rate, and, you know, like we were talking about before, you can lower your blood pressure.
Oh, they can be on some kind of pill, right, and some drug just to calm themselves down.
But you can do it with hypnosis. You can pass a polygraph with hypnosis if you have someone really good who's coaching you. I mean, we don't want to do that, and I have never done that for someone, but I know that I can. Because you can get your your skin temperature and that perspiration factor and everything, you can get that to go away. But yeah, that'd be fun. If somebody wants to set up that experiment, I'd do it.
Oh, that would be dramatic.
Yeah. But anyway, so those are some of the things. Now, another thing to look for is you ask someone a question. You say, where were you Saturday night? And they say, what do you mean, where was I Saturday night? What are you thinking? What are you asking me? Are you accusing me of lying? If a person doesn't answer the question, they're probably going to lie, because telling the truth is easy. It comes out unconsciously, automatically.
You're right.
And
you don't have to remember what you told people,
mm-hmm.
Wendy.
So if they ask a question when you ask them, you know, that specific thing. The eyes that I mentioned, the voice can change. Sometimes you can do this on the phone, because when someone's telling a lie, their throat constricts a little bit with the tension and the tightness, and their voice will go up. Coughing, clearing their throat is often a habit of someone getting ready to lie. But there are some people that have no clues at all, and they've learned to make their facial muscles be completely blank. So now the thing that's showing the lie on them is that their face doesn't move in a normal way.
They look like they're mannequins, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So you think, there's nothing there. And it's the absence of movement, no animation in their muscles.
I used to know someone, who I still do, that whenever she lied, you could tell by the movement of her lips that when she told the truth, they just, you know, when people talk, you just watch how they talk.
Mm-hmm.
But when this person lied, Wendy, her lip would turn a different way when she talked. It was amazing. It was uncanny.
When you know what to look for, it's easy.
Yeah.
Well, now what I did, George, is I took it another step further. Like in the video that I think you saw, I teach you all this stuff, but then I hypnotize you and I have you opening your eyes and looking at clips of people telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Close your eyes and say, okay, that's truth. Your subconscious mind now absorbs that that's how someone looks when they tell the truth. Now I open your eyes and you look at someone who is telling a lie, same person, and then we take that and we calibrate it, and you look at a whole bunch of sets of people telling the truth and telling lies. And I say, you know, your gut instinct is one thing, but now you're going to have a dead-on reaction when someone's lying. You're going to know instantly, because your subconscious is going to pick up all these clues and compare them.
Can you tell by not looking at someone, just listening to them?
In most cases, yeah. It's better to have some visual cues, but...
But you've trained yourself, though. You've gotten good.
Yeah, but voice, we can usually do it.
How did this happen for you in terms of this? You know, the line training portion of you. I mean, was there an episode and you said, you know what, from now on, I'm going to learn this?
Yeah, it's called dating. It's tough. So, is he telling the truth? Gee, I don't know.
You caught the old boy, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed I had a tough marriage where I was lied to a lot, and it resulted in a culmination after 10 years of, you know, a grand lie, and I was so shocked and so hurt that I was so stupid that I didn't have a clue. And so I started learning about it, but then when I made the video, I really intensely learned it and learned all the minute skills, but I also combined it with what I know about hypnosis and the subconscious. So
I would recommend that if anybody dated you now, they go on the date and they put a paper bag over their head so you can't see anything.
Don't say a word.
That's right.
Either that or, George, we have the other alternative, which is just tell the truth.
Just tell the truth, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
You know what? Just
tell the truth. It makes life so much easier.
All right. Now, hey, when we come back, let's talk about the internet hypnosis and how. And how many people do you do that? Do you do that with like thousands of people on the internet?
Right now, it's usually a group of about 100 at a time, and we actually have two of them tomorrow. And there's also an experiment on the internet that I want to have everybody do too.
Okay, because you can just draw us right to your website, and we will crash your site tonight.
You will want to go to my website.
We will crash your
website. You will not crash my website.
You will see. How much you want to make a bet we jam up your website?
Well, I got Globout looking at it. They said they're going to watch it for me.
How much you want to bet?
I'll bet you $1.50.
You got a deal. I bet you that the Coast listeners will jam your website when we come back.
Now how about dinner? Dinner in L.A. I'll come down there and buy you dinner if you...
If I win?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to win.
If it doesn't crash, you buy me dinner.
We crash everybody's website. As soon as we turn them loose... And you tell us exactly, it's the Wendy.com website, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to turn
it's still up right now.
All right.
Doing good.
Start it right now. Everybody, crash your website. Everybody in the world who has a computer, go to Wendy.
Where are you buying me dinner?
We'll see.
I like lobster a lot, George.
WENDI.com. Crash it. You'll know in minutes that it's crashed. Watch. We'll be right back. Well, tomorrow, 8 o'clock Pacific time for StreamLink members, we'll do our chat for 1 hour. So I'll be there. We'll answer your questions and chit-chat back and forth. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines, give you an opportunity to chat with Wendy Friesen. And according to Lex, our webmaster, he says it looks like we have crashed the website. But we'll verify with Wendy and where she's taking me to dinner when we come right back. Well, Wendy, what do you think about the website?
It came back up. It was slow, but I'm getting it. I'm refreshing it here.
I'll
give it one more time. It took like 20 seconds to come up, though.
You probably got it on the tail end of everybody who had already blasted it.
I'll keep trying.
Steve from DeForest, Wisconsin. George, we've crashed it. Gerald in Toledo, Bill. And
just hit refresh.
Even my webmaster says we got it. Yeah.
Well, let me
you do anything to keep from buying dinner, won't you?
George, you want to buy me dinner.
Won't trick me, hypnotist. Hey, internet hypnosis, how does it work?
This is really fun. I do a voice chat room on the internet. It's not telephone. So the people who attend can actually chat and answer questions and ask questions. But I do the voice, and I tell them about what we're going to do, and like if we're going to do procrastination, for instance. And I talk about it for about 20 minutes, and then we do an actual hypnosis session. And during that session, I link all these good feelings with wanting to get stuff done, like clean your house or organize something or file things, whatever it is. So then at the end of it, people talk about it, and they chat and say what happened and what they experienced. So it's really cool because people can actually, you know, experience it and share their feelings and make some new friends. But, you know, that was a little too tame for me. So last week I had a mystery webinar and I said, I'm not telling you the topic. My website's not coming up. You brat.
I knew it.
It's trying. Hold on. It's trying.
They have never let me down yet. You talk about you do hypnosis to control the world.
I'm working on it.
I do this show to control the world.
Oh, you're doing pretty good.
See, we can do that.
So how do we figure out who takes control of the world first? You have a little more influence than me, so
I tell you, I mean, can you imagine the power of these listeners?
Uh-huh.
They can crash a website at will.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty dangerous.
It is, absolutely. Any of them.
I wonder what I'll do
next.
Yeah,
it's stuck, George.
Yep. Sorry.
Stuck.
Now if you're nice to me, I'll tell them to back off.
Well, we have to free it up so everybody can do their backwards hypnosis in a little while.
Yeah,
so we got time.
Okay.
I'm not worried. So anyway, the webinar. So I had this mystery topic webinar, and I didn't tell anybody what it was about. And I have a pretty loyal group, a few hundred people who like to come, and, you know, they know what we're going to do. But this time it was a mystery. So I started the webinar just with conversation. I said, you know, sometimes you find that there's a part of your mind that simply wants something so bad. And then you realize that you relax, and that part of your mind just wants to hear more. So maybe for you, your eyes already closed just hearing those words because you want it so much. Or maybe for you, your eyes are open, but you feel them getting heavier with every blink. So I just started in with this, and I said things like, you know, I would tell you that you can't be made to do anything against your will. But there's a part of your mind that's hearing my voice right now that knows that it would do almost anything I ask. So so I did this, and I did some silly things, like I said, that your legs and your feet are so heavy, loose and limp and numb that they cannot move. The more you try to move them, the more heavy, loose and limp they become. And I'd say, open your eyes on the count of three. And they'd open their eyes, and I'd say, well, I'd like y'all to type in there what's happening with your legs.
And these are 100 people out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And their eyes are wide open, but yet they can't move their legs.
That's funny.
And then I'd have them close their eyes again. And I did several things with them. It was pretty funny. But one of them was, after this webinar, when you try to find your keys, they are going to be invisible to you. The only way that you can make them appear is to sing out loud the song from Sesame Street. So for the next day, wherever you're at the office or home or at the grocery store looking through your purse, you'll have to sing Sesame Street out loud.
That's mean.
It was hilarious. You would have liked, if you could do it, you would have done it. It was great. So I also said that after the webinar, in 2 hours, you will have this overwhelming urge to email me. You will have something that you just have to tell me. Now, you don't have to keep track of the time because your foot is going to keep track of the time. And in exactly 2 hours, your foot is going to itch and tingle so much. The only thing that will stop it is to send me an email. Now, these people have a will of their own. You know, they had a choice. They didn't have to let this happen, but their mind was so intrigued, and somehow a switch was flipped.
That's pretty good.
And so I got these emails. Oh, my God, it was so funny. I got these emails from people saying, there's no way this is going to work, and I'm sitting here writing you an email because my foot feels funny, but I know this isn't working. It's not because you told me to do that. One guy, he's 4 a.m, he gets up to email me. He says, I can't sleep. This is ridiculous. I have to sleep. My left leg and foot is just pounding because I'm trying so hard to resist. So then he's writing the email, and he says, by the end of it, he says, wow, it's starting to feel better already. That's so weird.
It is an incredible power.
It is. But here's something even more fun we did in that same session. I had everybody imagine that we were all traveling through the velvety darkness behind their eyelids, traveling through time and space to a very special place. And so everyone that was in the webinar together was imagining they were all floating and flying together. And we went to this place where I said there's this column of light in the center. So you all sit down in a circle facing into this column of light. Now get closer so your shoulders touch and so you feel connected and that your thought becomes one and energy begins to swirl around the circle. In a moment, you'll see inside the column of light that there's an object. And you'll know what that object is and you'll just see it and make a note of it. So I had two webinars, one in the morning and one in the evening, mm-hmm. with two different groups. The morning webinar, and I asked them what the object was. I said, okay, open your eyes and type in what the object was. It was something that was either gold or shiny or glowing, something that was beautiful, valuable, diamond-like, sparkly. So this was the theme that they all had for this object. So the evening seminar, I'm thinking, okay, you know, we got the column of light. They're going to go with the glowy, shiny, sparkly thing, right? These people go, an anvil, a screwdriver, a hammer, a lamp, like a genie lamp,
yeah.
All things made of metal. They all got, yeah, they didn't get the exact same object, which is what I was shooting for. But they got a similar object. And I've had this happen when I've worked with groups. When I do seminars, I could have like 300 people, and I have them all laying out, doing the hypnosis, and later they'll tell me about something they experienced, and their neighbor looks at them and says, what? That's what I saw too. You did too? That's what was behind the door when I went in. So that's they share funny. Thought all around the world. There's people from, you know, Australia and all the countries. And they were all sharing a thought to come up with tools that are made of metal or glowing orbs that are gold and shiny. Isn't that cool?
It is cool.
Yeah.
I had a friend send me, because he knew you were going to be on, just a mental mind game test. And he said, try this out. It's incredible.
Website's back.
And good, because we're going to be able to, they've released you. And you add up, they must have like 5 different things you add up, but you have to add it up fast in your mind. Mm-hmm. You don't write it down. You just, it says like 32, 42. What is it? You go 74 and you just mm-hmm. keep going. And at the end, it quickly asks you to name a color mm-hmm. and a tool.
A tool. And you go hammer and orange.
And I went blue hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that I'm in the 2% category.
Hmm.
That 98% of the people in this case would go red. Hammer.
Oh, red.
I went blue hammer. My daughter did green hammer.
Oh.
But why is that? Why do they say 98% of the people will say red and hammer?
Sometimes you can do it where you can put some clues into the language patterns. So there are words that are said that trigger you that have to do with red. In the conversation, even though they're just saying numbers, there are some things that are said. And some of the magicians do some tricks this way where you'll just, if you want someone to pick the number two, you're going to repeatedly use the word two, you know. Well, I want to go to
this point
with you. And, you know, so there's ways to get that in there. And I don't know if it has to do with it in that. I think the hammer part, though, I've thought about that. If you asked 100 people just to name a tool clear out of the blue.
I think most would say hammer, maybe screwdriver, but most would say hammer.
Yeah, would say hammer.
I agree with that.
You're kind of going, well, this is what people say, so I'm going to make it into a little trick.
That is amazing, though, how people can do that in mass.
Right. But group consciousness is awesome. If you have people imagining something and you get them connected energetically, their minds will share a thought.
It's very strong, too.
It is. It is.
We used to dabble around with some weather and moved, I think, I'm convinced we moved a hurricane a couple of years ago. This is very strange. It was approaching a Category 5, and within 2 hours, it dropped to a 2, then a 1, and meteorologists the next day, and this was after our experiment to try to weaken it, meteorologists said, we have never seen a hurricane drop in force so fast, we can't explain it.
Right.
Now, that's weird.
Yeah, it is. But the mass consciousness is so strong. And you know how it affects random number generators. If everybody's having the same intense emotion at the same time, random number generators make patterns. And it's the same as creating intensity of emotion in hypnosis. So, you know, emotion is all you need because negative emotion especially travels very quickly and it is picked up and it makes us connected. Positive emotion is a little bit harder to send, according to the experiments they've done. But that's basically what you're doing. If you connect it, it magnifies it, makes it stronger. And, you know, I've seen it done. I have this thing called remote influence, and people collect their thoughts and send them to someone in particular, and it has an effect on them.
Do you want to do this experiment now?
This is something people can do pretty much any time. On the front page of the site, there's a link, there's a little coast-to-coast thing, and there's a link that says backwards hypnosis experiment. I think you'll like this. You know, you know all about backwards speech, of course, reverse speech. Some guy said he wasn't getting good results out of the golf CD, so he put it in his computer and reversed the whole thing and re-recorded it onto a CD, and he says, my golf game is just doing great. So I put together 5 different sessions that are backwards hypnosis sessions. After you listen to one, you go and take the test, and you choose the one that you feel. So it might say, I feel like having a drink of water. I feel like singing a song. I feel like going to bed. I feel like calling a friend, you know, these kind of things. So first they hypnotize you, and then you listen to the backwards hypnosis session, and then you go and choose, and there's 5 of them, and then you get to see the results to see if people chose greater than chance.
You know, this is like reverse speech, isn't it?
It is, exactly. And I'm giving you a command, a very simple command. So if the thing is about, let's say it's that you want to walk outside, none of them are about that. That's why I chose it.
Okay.
If it's that you want to walk outside and stand in the sunshine, in reverse speech, I would be saying repeatedly that you want to walk outside and stand in the sunshine. You have a desire to feel the sunshine. You must walk outside into the sunshine. So the purpose is, do our subconscious minds really pick up reverse speech? And if we're in trance, do we have the ability to understand it backwards?
Okay, that'll be fine. People can do that at any time.
They can do that any time. And then they can check back in. And what I'll do in a few days, I'll post which answer is the correct one. Because right now they're going to see the results, but they're not going to know which one's correct.
Okay.
So they're going to see that like 80% of the people wanted to walk outside or something. But yeah, it's really cool. Plus, you get to get all tranced out, and there's this double voice induction that's really fun to hear. So,
in all your life of being a hypnotist, have you ever come across, outside of this child molester, anything scary that really bothered you?
There was a person that I thought had probably killed someone because he had something he was hiding, and all the clues and everything he had told me made me feel like he had killed someone. That really bothered me, but it just wasn't something I could really, you know, dig into. So that would be one that, you know, in the therapy he was doing, this is where it seemed to be pointing.
What has been the most remarkable hypnosis session you've ever had?
Sometimes people will go into depossession. And there actually are a lot of hypnotists who do depossession, but most of the time it happens kind of accidentally. But hypnotists don't talk about it because it's not something that, you know, you go around saying, hey, I'm going to do a little exorcism tomorrow. Yeah. It's very intense. And I have done many of these, not intentionally, but when it happens and you're right there with your client, you have to ask their mind to connect with that higher self and say, is this part of you, a part of you that you need, or is this an outside entity or an outside energy of some sort? And you got to find out. Now, it could be just a metaphor. You know, it may be that this person, in order to heal and release their problem, is going to use this as a metaphor for a way to get rid of this problem. But you know, George, I have seen some amazing things in there. This one woman, I swear she was levitating off of this. She was in my recliner. And it looked like she was up off of there an inch or two. And I thought, no.
No, yeah, this can't be.
Her body was vibrating and stuff, and she was releasing some spirit. And I was like, no way. So anyway, we got to the end of the session, and all of a sudden she just dropped. It was like she actually dropped an inch. But I didn't say anything. And afterwards she says, Wendy, was I levitating?
Whoa.
And I said, well. She says, because I didn't feel the chair under me. And, you know, it's hard to tell in a recliner, but oh, it was pretty crazy. But what was more interesting is after that session, she quit drinking and quit smoking 2 days after. And she says, ah, I figured it out. This was my father's spirit, and he drank and he smoked, and I miss him so much. And something I absorbed made me want to do that. Now, maybe it was just an emotional need that created this, and it was a metaphor. But maybe, you know, and we've all got our own ideas about that. Maybe it is the energy that stays with you, and sometimes it doesn't do you any good.
Could be. Yeah. Have you done past life regressions with people?
Yeah, and in fact, that's another thing that's totally amazing and mind-blowing. It happens accidentally a lot. You'll be doing just work with someone, and all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, this one guy, he had anxiety, so he had tight chest pains a lot. That's what he came to me for. And he's the biggest skeptic. He would never believe in anything like past lives. And he's laying there and he says, Wendy, something's wrong. And his eyes are closed and everything. I said, what? He says, I don't know. There's horses everywhere and there's people and there's swords. I don't know what's going on. What am I going to do? And I said, well, just tell me what's around you. He said, it's my chest. There's something in my chest. There's something stabbing me. And now they're running over me and all this, right? And he's still in the session. And this isn't someone who would make up a past life thing because he doesn't believe in that. So after we're done with the session, he says, why did I do that? That's ridiculous. Why did I? I said, well, you didn't do it. And I explained about past lives, but he went into the time where his heart got that anxiety and that injury and that wound. And you know, the thing about doing past life regressions, when you get the physical wound and you find it, a lot of times people don't have that physical ailment anymore. It's just gone. And it could be a metaphor again. We don't know for sure. But one woman I worked with, she was going through this thing of being a slave on a Caribbean island, and she was there against her will. And I said, well, what do you eat? And she said, well, there's these things. They don't taste very good. They grow on trees, and they're these big things. And I guess it's kind of like fruit, but it doesn't taste like fruit. And I said, what do you call it? She says, I don't know. And I said, ask someone else. And she said, they call it breadfruit? She says, that doesn't make any sense. Because consciously, her mind is still here and aware. And her and I had never heard of breadfruit. And after the session, we said, well, that's really weird. I've never heard of that. She says, yeah, I know. I don't know where I came up with that. So then I was reading an island magazine, and I saw the breadfruit in, and I looked on the Internet, and that's what they fed to the slaves, and it's all over the islands. And that's because it was cheap, and it grows really fast.
And what you don't know is whether maybe she read it and subconsciously picked that up,
right,
or whether she had that experience.
She did tell me what it tastes like. As well, she described it. It had this mealy kind of dry taste and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just got back from Fiji recently, and you know, you can eat breadfruit all over the Pacific Islands, and it tastes exactly like what she said.
Well, I believe in that. I believe that people have had past lives. This is pretty strong.
There's
down
a lot
in
of
Jamaica.
Evidence for
it's
it.
Everywhere in Jamaica and everything. It's in Hawaii now.
There's plenty of evidence, you know. And kids, if you ask kids who are under 4 years old who they were when they were big, they'll tell you all about their past lives and. Pretty tough to dispute.
And in Hawaii, this is how fast our our listeners are. In Hawaii, they have the Breadfruit Institute to promote the study and use of breadfruit for food and reforestation.
Oh, wow. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And at that time, I had never heard of it either. So
they look like big coconuts, but they're green.
Mm-hmm. And they don't taste very good, really.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, stay with us. We're going to give you phone calls, Wendy, when we come back, okay?
All right.
If you have a question about hypnotism, our guest, Wendy Friesen, will be more than happy to answer your calls. When we come right back on Coast to Coast AM, I'm George Norrie.